Three miniatures in On the Tempo of Perception, composed and read by Cliff Grigo. Time, the water said to the rock, is but the difference that flows between us. Two. Reading isn't linear, whether in glyph or words or the notes of a score. It's the staring eye that channels the ear's meander of polyphony and metaphor. Three. The medium is not the message. Powerful ideas like freedom and compassion stand above the means of expression, like the moon above its earth.
On the Tempo of Perception. Human perception, it seems to me, is inextricably intertwined with the speed or tempo of the human heartbeat or pulse. In turn, the pulse conditions our sense of motion and bipedal movement or rocking. If we take 60 beats per minute as the mean, or center, or reference point, then its doubling of 120 is fast, while its halving of 30 is slow. So there are but two central octaves or doublings of tempo, 30 to 60, and 60 to 120. These together form what we might think of as a kind of perceptual temporal tree. Of great significance in human creative endeavor is the manner in which this basic framework or temporal measure is then further subdivided and refined, yielding a richness and subtlety without limit. For example, the classical musics of every world culture have all developed and explored this same, common, temporal tree, each in their own unique but at the same time interrelated way. So what I'm suggesting is, in a way, up to this point, self-evident and obvious, that the roots of this great temporal tree are found in the tempo of the pulse, the natural speed or tempo of rocking, and, indeed, other human movement of every description and kind. Taken together, they form a kind of central measure of perception. My next contention, however, is less obvious, that this center of perception has been shattered or corrupted by the very different pulse of machines. In other words, as you step behind the wheel of your admittedly in some ways sophisticated automobile, I'm saying that, instead of the car giving you vastly stronger and faster feet and legs, it is really the other way around. You are providing the car with eyes. What you see is what the car would see, and not a normal, sensitive, intelligent, aware of his or her environment, human being. My argument in its simplest form is this: each species of machine has its own characteristic measure. This measure is then superimposed by force on a very different measure of human perception. The mechanism involved is not complicated. We become conditioned and habituated to the imposed mechanical measure. We also come very quickly to tacitly assume that it is not just the only natural way of seeing things, but what is more, we actually come to crave it. This is because of the way, especially as in the case of the automobile, it has not only been culturally sanctioned but also held up as a universally understood symbol of social status and power. In other words, the car has become an end in itself, and embodies, as it were, through us. With time, we are no longer aware of any difference. So the seeing or time frame or measure of the machine comes to in a large part replace our own. Let me conclude my argument with the question, how might we test what I am saying? That presents us with something of a conundrum. There is the logic of it, of course, which admittedly may or may not be sound. But just as importantly, there is the experiential aspect. One has to make the test of giving up mechanized movement, at least for a while, simply to see what happens. I have come to think of this as the what if of doing without. What will happen if I don't drive? The first logical inspection is very much a part of our great Socratic tradition in the West. The second experiential part is not. That might just be why we are, I think, Stuck in the self-destructive view of the world, the workings of which remain unintentionally largely outside of our field of critical vision. Obviously, the absolute number of 60 beats per minute should be seen as a relative approximation chosen for the sake of clarity. It can easily slide up or down. Also, the two primary octaves have their implied extensional extremes of 15 to 30, and 120 to 240, representing respectively very fast and very slow. Little Eagle Meadows, Eagle Cap Wilderness.
As a coda to On the Tempo of Perception, here's the Beggar's Song from The Voices, a set of 9 translations from Rainer Maria Rilke. The reason why I wanted to play that excerpt here is it slides between these tempo octaves. So it's not only possible to hear or make a music which leaps between the octaves, but also in a completely continuous way slides. The Beggar's Song. I always go from gate to gate, soaked to the bone and all burned up. All of a sudden, I'll lay my right ear in my right hand. Then my own voice sounds to me as if I had never known it. Then I don't know for sure who it is that's screaming, me or just somebody else. I'm screaming about next to nothing, really. Poets scream about more. Finally, I close my face with both eyes shut, which looks as if it's in my hands with its whole weight in resting. That's so they don't think I don't have a proper